The Best of Times Radio Hour, live on 101.7 FM and 710 Kiel, a show dedicated to seniors and boomers in Northwest Louisiana. Here's your host, Gary Kaligas.
Good morning, radio listeners. I'm Gary Kaligas, the publisher of The Best of Times, the only magazine and radio show for mature adults in Northwest Louisiana. Do thank you for tuning into our show today, and also thanking those who might be listening via the internet at www.710keel.com. Also thanking those who might be listening via the Keel application on their Apple or Android devices. We also thank those who might be listening this show via a podcast of our previously broadcast radio shows, either from our website, thebestoftimesnews.com, or from Apple Podcasts. We do thank AARP Louisiana and A-Bears Tending Country of Shreveport, your Dodge, Chrysler, Ram, and Jeep dealer, for being the exclusive sponsors of this radio show to provide you with beneficial information each and every Saturday morning. In just a few minutes, we're going to learn about the upcoming C.E. Byrd High School 100th Centennial Celebration to be held in Shreveport on June 5th through June 7th. So stay to this show for some detailed information about this wonderful celebration. It's much more than just a party. It is Saturday, May the 24th, and we are broadcasting our show from the studios of News Radio 710 Kiel at Town Square Media Station here in wonderful Shreveport, Louisiana. However, today's show has been pre-recorded, so we will be unable to accept call-in questions and comments from our loyal radio listeners. Be sure to pick up the May-June 2025 issue of The Best of Times at one of our 270 distribution locations. We thank you for the many compliments about our magazine. We do appreciate hearing from you. If you're unable to find a printed copy at one of our distribution locations, you can always visit our website at thebestoftimesnews.com to view both our current and past issues of our magazine, in addition to listen to previously broadcast radio shows here on the Best of Times Radio Hour. In addition, you can view and download the 2025 Silver Pages Senior Resource Directory. Each and every month, The Best of Times sends out a newsletter via e-blast, many thousands and thousands of email addresses of seniors and boomers in Northwest Louisiana. It provides them with a link to read our current issue as well as a link to read our Silver Pages. In addition, there are more educational articles that are not found in our printed copy of The Best of Times magazine. There includes discounts, contests, and news about upcoming events that you can participate. Join the many thousands who are already receiving our newsletter via their email address. You can join free of charge just by visiting our website at thebestoftimesnews.com to subscribe free of charge. Great news, our friends at Ernest Arlene's has brought back the Best of Times special dinner each and every Thursday from 4:30 p.m. to closing with fabulous meals at highly discounted price. It is highly recommended due to the popularity of this Thursday night special to make advance reservations by calling 318-226-1325. Again, 318-226-1325. We'll be right back with more information, but now we're to our sponsors and advertisers who do make this radio show possible. You're listening to The Best of Times Radio Hour here on News Radio 710 Kiel, proudly presented by AARP Louisiana and A-Bears Tending Country of Shreveport, your Dodge, Chrysler, Ram, and Jeep dealer.
The Best of Times Radio Hour will be right back on 101.7 FM and 710 Kiel. Now back to the Best of Times Radio Hour on 101.7 FM at 710 Kiel.
Welcome back to our show, the Best of Times Radio Hour, proudly presented by AARP Louisiana and A-Bears Tending Country of Shreveport, your Dodge, Chrysler, Ram, and Jeep dealer. I'm Gary Kaligas, and I do thank you for taking time to listen to our radio show today. Joining me on my show as a special guest is Mr. Kenneth Favrick, mm-hmm. who is with the C.E. Byrd High School Alumni Association. You're the president, right?
I am, yes, sir.
And we're thankful for you to come to our show today to discuss the upcoming 100 Byrd High School Centennial. That's 100 years, everyone. Celebration that's going to be held in Shreveport June 5th through 7th. So thank you again for joining us today. We're going to have a lot of fun discussing the upcoming centennial celebration. I mean, that's really awesome.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me here to talk about it. Well, we're excited.
little transparency to my listeners. I think most of my listeners know I'm a 1968 graduate of C.E. Byrd. Really proud and enjoyed those high school days. I mean, it's 50 plus years ago, but I really enjoyed and was quite active. And I don't know if you know, I was part of the Gusher. I was part of the, I'm getting a senior money. What was the name of the newsletter?
The High Life.
High Life, yes. Mm-hmm. I was on that staff, too. Mm-hmm. So that was my early publishing days. I was also in the Latin Club. I was in the Science Club. I was in a bunch of other clubs and organizations. But, again, it was a great experience and gave me a lot of wonderful education that I continued on to Louisiana Tech and further. So,
Yep, that's a great class, too. A lot of real good people came out of that class.
That is true.
Very active with us in the Alumni Association. So,
my son went and graduated Byrd, I think, 1996, and he was on the football team, very active at Byrd High School. So that was it was great when I got to have him back, because I got to participate for 4 years, I think, involved in football and all the activities of the parents with the son. So it was another great experience going back to the Byrd High School.
Yeah, we just missed each other. I was right after him.
Okay. So tell our listeners, there may be in Arkansas throughout the world here, a little bit of history about C.E. Byrd High School.
Yeah, so, I mean, really, we're turning 100, and that's the Byrd High School. But the history of Byrd dates back even further. The Shreveport High School was the first high school in this area. It started under Mr. Clifton Ellis Byrd. He was the principal and the superintendent of Caddo Parish after that. It started back in those days, the late 1800s. Public school was looked down upon. Most people didn't send their kids to public school.
Really?
So whenever he started as superintendent, there was only 10 students. You know, by the time he was still superintendent of Caddo Parish Schools in 1920, it was over 10,000.
Whoa.
So a lot of that, some of that's credited to just the reputation of public schools, but he had a lot to do with.
But all that was private schools in our area?
Yeah, people
our...
just tutoring at home,
okay.
Or, yeah, just getting their education on their own. It wasn't as much of an emphasis put on it, you know, as it came to be like it is now.
Wow, so. I didn't know that. And only beginning with 10 students.
Yeah.
Whoa, that was a really interesting start.
I know.
So what happens after that? What happened after that?
Well, it grew enough, and then we had the boom of the 20s, right? And there you can look around our city and look at how much building happened at that time. You know, you have the municipal, mm-hmm. You have the Strand, you have various other buildings, and you also had the plans put into place to build two schools, actually. And C.E. Byrd High School was the first one, and it was named after him. And then the other one was Fair Park High School, which was built, it was finished 2 or 3 years after that. So that was the big rivalry back then.
Oh, yes, it was. It was when I was growing up in the 68s, it was definitely a rivalry.
Yep.
We would fill the State Fair Stadium of that particular game each and every year.
Mm-hmm.
So tell us a little bit about the early years at Byrd.
So we talked about Mr. Byrd a little bit, but I think if you ask most people, the godfather of Byrd High School is Grover Kaufman. He's the first principal. That's who Mr. Byrd hired to be the first principal, and he was there from 1925 until 1955. And the early success is credited to him and his leadership, the lengths that he went to go hire the best teachers around, and he would go all over the country to find these teachers.
Wow.
A lot of the traditions started under him that are still around today. The name of the Yellow Jacket, the story behind that is that they were having a parade for the football team. And he was standing on the side watching the parade come by, and it started to rain. So they donned their yellow rain jackets.
Okay.
And he overheard somebody say, "Look at those pretty yellow jackets."
Oh.
And he liked that. So so he started using it right after that. Yeah.
I'm glad you tell us that, because I didn't know that little trivia information. I went to Byrd all these years, and I probably did, but forgot. I'm glad you brought it up again. Yes, the yellow jackets.
Uh-huh.
Yes.
Yep.
That is really cool.
Uh-huh. Yep. The Shreveport High School, which was what it was before moved into Byrd High School, their nickname was the Bulldogs. Yep. So that was kind of
Kenneth,
the change.
You've got a lot of great trivia. I think my listeners out there love trivia, so they're going to be able to. And the interesting in Mike Grover, Mr. Kaufman, is he went to my father's restaurant, which was Seven Seas on Uri in Ockley, because I remember I was like 4 or 5 years old, and I remember my dad telling me a few years later that I hope you go to Bird High School. I hope you're in that district. And I was. I was in, we lived in Sri Island, so that was part of the district to go. And eventually, you know, we had a choice to go to either Captain Shreve or Bird, but I continued to go into Bird. So, but I remember him mentioning that he had met him, and that was, that was years ago.
You can tell what kind of man he was whenever you talk to a lot of these graduates that actually went to school under him, and you can see the emotion, you know, with them. Like, I've seen several. The first time I talked to a lady, Miss Joanne Sigler is who it was, and she,
I know her.
You do, yeah.
Oh yes.
She had tears in her eyes. You know, she wanted to make sure I knew who he was, and you know, and then so you see that once, and it's one thing, but I think I saw it 3 or 4 times after that, talking to people, just the emotion they felt and the respect they had for him.
Well, the other thing is when my I'm telling about my parents, being an only child, they brought me to the number of football games in the 50s, and eventually when I was at, you know, went to Shreve Island, and they would take me because that was the big thing in the Shreveport area,
right?
Is Bird High School and playing different football people. So we went to football games and basketball games. I remember definitely that when I was very young, probably in my teens, and that's the early 50s, late 50s and early 60s, and then eventually I went there. So
I went
there in 64, I think it was 64. Mm-hmm. So those were the golden age years. That's right.
Yeah. Look, I call those the golden age years because just the people, the graduates that came out of Bird at that time it's amazing. If you look at the list of the folks that are in our Hall of Fame from that time, the one that I like to use as an example is a guy named John Bacall. He was debate champion. He was also he wanted to go to school to be a rabbi. He was going to go to school. He's going to be a rabbi, and he took a science course, and it completely changed his life in college. And he transferred, I believe, to UC Berkeley, and he started to go on that path, and he ended up working for NASA, and he had a huge effect on making the Hubble telescope.
Wow,
right?
I didn't know
but
that.
Not only was he a scientist in that route, he was debate champion, like I said, and went to Washington, D.C. and lobbied to get the funding in order to send that telescope into space, which is still giving us all kinds of information today.
And the
crazy thing is hearing that story, I was like, surely he was valedictorian, but he wasn't.
He wasn't.
He wasn't. So that's I can run down some of these. We got Pete Aldridge is Undersecretary of Defense. That's John Dalton, the Secretary,
Dalton, yes,
yep, Secretary of the Navy. Helen Lefkowitz. Horowitz is a Pulitzer Prize winner. Tom Jarrell, ABC News journalist. J. Bennett Johnson, the U.S. Senator. And there's, you know, I can go 5 or 6 more deep down this line of just locally known, nationally known, and internationally known. It really is amazing the people that Bird was putting out.
And those individuals created a great impact on our country, on our state, it's remarkable that they came from the little town of Shreveport, Louisiana.
That's right.
Bird High School, and they got acclimation and were well known, but learn their skills, you might say, at Bird High School. I mean, I remember the math and science department was excel. I mean, that's what I excelled in. I went to engineering school, but I can remember all my math teachers, my science teachers, my physics teachers were just remarkable. I mean, way thinking out of the box and not just, you know, it was totally remarkable. I can tell thousands of stories about that. Yeah. So, yes, it's truly the 50s and 60s, but we can say the people is in the 70s, the 80s, and 90s, and on. There have been some people that have graduated Bird that have done some accolades, right?
Absolutely, from all walks of life, too. You know, we've got artists. Bill Joyce is probably around your age. We've got you know, people, more people that are in the media as well. There's, I mean, it is a whole range of great people that are out there that have come out of Byrd High School.
Well, also the athletics were increased in that particular time in the 50s and 60s, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they were good. They were good back then. So really, when the school started between the 20s and to 1950, they were winning state football championships all the time. And we've come up just short a bunch, including in the 50s. But really, it was all extracurricular activities, I would say, 50s and 60s. It was actually, Grover, back to Grover Kaufman, he started calling Byrd the city. Right. And he called it that just because there was so much going on. Yeah. There's just there's so much opportunity, and all the students were required to, you know, be involved in the school after school activities and to be leaders, you know, in those.
Yeah. Most of us didn't leave until 5 or 6 o'clock and sometimes longer.
Right. That's right.
But the activities were just numerous, and you could participate in so many different different after hours and learning and networking and, you know, learning additionally things and having fun. I mean, a lot of it was fun as well.
Mm-hmm.
So, but I can think of athletics and that, you know, they won a lot of national championship, but then there was a lull, right? There was a lull period.
Yeah,
and
that's right.
My son's team was undefeated and went to the state, but got lost in the first go round. But we got to go down to Baton Rouge and play. I can't remember where we played, but it was at least the first time they had never gone down there in many, 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 many years.
Yeah, there's a big revival. So, the team, you know, we've had lulls at times, but there are also times where they do really well as a football team. But overall, I feel like sports, there's always going to be some good teams that go far every year still to this day.
In the history of Byrd, of course, I was there when desegregation was started. So tell the listeners a little bit about that.
Yeah, I noticed that you were class of 68. So the first African-American student at Byrd was Mr. Arthur Burton.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And so you're going to be able to tell this story probably better than me, right?
But I don't remember a lot of the only thing I can remember the first day he arrived, that there was a vacant seat by me in my class, and I can't remember if it was civics class or history class, but they placed him down with me, the federal marshals.
Mm-hmm.
I chatted with him, and I knew that he was quite interested in ROTC. He asked me if I was in ROTC. I said, no, I'm not, but I know we have a good one here, and that's what he was going to excel in. He probably went in the military afterwards. I don't know the rest of the story.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I need to look into that and get the rest of that story. That's a
But he was very nice, quite friendly. Quite nervous, of course, but I tried to make him, and I tried to tell everybody else, you know, it happens. We have to deal with this.
Right.
I mean, but there were, you know, it was. Some people said it was a sad day, but it's not a sad day.
Right.
I'm looking back at it. It was going to happen eventually throughout the world, throughout the United States. And,
right.
And it happened. I don't know if Byrd was the first. Was Byrd the first to be?
So that was the school choice where you could choose where to go. And so I guess him and his family chose to go ahead and start the desegregation process. So forced integration didn't come until 1970.
Oh.
And Byrd was the first. There was Valencia High School, which is it was in the building that Caddo Magnet High School is in now.
Okay.
So this is one of the few places that this has happened throughout the country where they took an entire school administration and everything and completely combined it.
Did not know that.
Yeah, and they completely combined those two schools. So you had the principal that was the Byrd principal, the vice principal was the principal at Valencia.
Okay.
And they did it in the middle of the school year. So by the time graduation came around, they didn't have purple cap and gowns for the new students that transferred over, and so they wore their colors from their years. It had to be incredibly difficult for them to switch places. So we owe a lot to them. We do still honor Mr. Burton with a scholarship that we give to African-American students every year.
Didn't know that. Mm-hmm. Well, hold that thought. We'll be right back with more information, but now a word from our sponsors and advertisers who do make this radio show possible. You're listening to the Best of Times Radio Hour here on News Radio 710 Keel, proudly presented by AARP Louisiana and Bears Tending Country of Shreveport, your Dodge, Chrysler, Ram, and Jeep dealer.
The Best of Times Radio Hour will be right back on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel. Now back to the Best of Times Radio Hour on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
Welcome back to our show, the Best of Times Radio Hour, proudly presented by AARP Louisiana and A-Bears Tending Country of Shreveport, your Dodge, Chrysler, Ram, and Jeep dealer. I'm Gary Kaligas, and I do thank you for listening to our show today. Joining me on my show is a special guest, is Dr. Ryan Master, who is with the Willis Knighton Pyrmont Cardiology Group, and he's on our show to discuss the treatments and reasons for hopefully for high blood pressure and hypertension and hopefully help you and your loved ones in coping with that particular situation. So again, thank you for joining us today. We talked about some of the issues of high blood pressure, family history, hereditary, other causes of it. And you mentioned tumors, which I never thought about that. Certain tumors can instill upon that, right?
Right. There are a couple of benign specific tumors related to it. Generally not most cancers. These are like an adrenal adenoma or one called a pheochromocytoma, but not breast cancer or colon cancer, things like that.
So you as a physician, when an individual patient comes to see you and they have a record of high blood pressure or hypertension, you start them on a dosage of treatment, right? You start a treatment.
Correct.
I want to know, how is it determined what medication to give the individual?
Yeah, we have pretty good data on which medications should be first line. And first line medications really fall into two classes of drugs. Their patient can have other medical issues where we would use a different drug instead. There is a group of drugs called ACE inhibitors and angiotensin converting enzyme inhibitors is their full name, and angiotensin receptor blockers. So we kind of combined that in one class. ACE inhibitors came first. They have some potential side effects of cough, angioedema, where the lips swell, tongue swell. Those are pretty rare, but not that rare that we don't see that. And so angiotensin receptor blockers work on that same pathway, and they just block angiotensin 2, where the ACE inhibitor blocks the formation of that. And these drugs have been around for several decades, and they're considered to be first line for hypertension. Sometimes African Americans may not respond as well to these medications. Calcium channel blockers, especially the dihydropyridines like amlodipine, nifedipine, felodipine, those are also considered to be first line. And the approach can vary where you can put somebody on one medication and increase the dose. There's another thought process where lower doses of combined medications can be more synergistic. Okay. And luckily, companies have made combination pills. So instead of having to take two separate pills, you can take a combo pill that has two medicines in one. I think we get a little bit more potency of the medication that it acts. As you go up in the dosing, you get less effect per increase in the dose, and you're more prone to getting more side effects. It doesn't mean we don't max out patients, but starting with one medication, going up a little bit, and then if they're still having issues, adding another one. So diabetics, ACE inhibitors, angiotensin receptor blockers are clearly first line. Second line, adding a calcium channel blocker, and that's still first line. Again, an African American, I may start with a calcium channel blocker. Somebody that has some issues with a little bit of heart failure, a little fluid overload, women and African Americans can sometimes be a little bit more salt sensitive, a little water retaining. In those cases, a thiazide diuretic is a good a good choice. And they also make combination pills with those medications. Somebody I see that may have a history of palpitations, some extra heartbeats, beta blocker may be a good choice, that it helps to suppress those extra heartbeats, and it also lowers the blood pressure. But that's a second line blood pressure drug.
So once you give a dosage to an individual patient, do you advise your nurses, advise them if they're having any of the following situations they need to call because they may need to change the dosage, discontinue, or give something new, right?
Correct. What I tell my patients, blood pressure is a little bit like math homework. It's guess and check. And so we have reasonable ideas of looking at what a patient's blood pressure is. And I would have wanted the patient before I start medication, as we talked about earlier, is to see what their home blood pressure numbers are.
Okay.
You know, and some people have more labile blood pressure and they're a little harder to treat. So, and that tends to be more older patients, patients with Parkinson's disease, where they're high one moment, low the next moment, and you don't want to bottom that person out. So whenever I start them, I want them to check home blood pressure, email them, fax in, whatever it is, so I can then look at the response. And like I said, I go low and slow usually. That's and good. So we try it and we may not make it. And then, all right, we need to bump it up. And there's nothing wrong with bumping it up, but I don't want to start out too high and dropping somebody down and they're having more side effects. Each medication is different in terms of side effects, so giving some patients some idea of what things to watch for. If we give them a diuretic, like the thiazides that we mentioned, it's important to check their potassium levels and their renal function to make sure we're not drying them out too much and they're getting issues with their kidneys.
That's definitely true. But these new drugs are amazing. I mean, I think each and every year the pharmaceutical companies come out with these combined drugs or come out with something new. Is that true?
That they're continuing to work on finding, you know, the optimal treatments for blood pressure. There's a drug being studied that's a shot that's similar to that angiotensin receptor renin pathway that could be potentially once every 6 months. Wow. And instead of taking a pill. And so that's in development.
Awesome.
We talked about the adrenal gland making aldosterone. So there's some patients who are just a little bit more prominent to produce aldosterone and they respond better to aldosterone antagonists. There's an older drug called spironolactone, another one called eplerenone, and then now there's some newer ones in development that are a little more specific. But you were asking me earlier about how do we determine which one's first line, second line, and that goes back to large cardiovascular data where they've looked at patients, giving them which medications. So there was a big trial where we had data on ACE inhibitors already. They did a combination pill of an ACE inhibitor and a calcium channel blocker and a combination pill of an ACE inhibitor and a thiazide diuretic, and they found less cardiovascular events and better blood pressure control with the combination ACE inhibitor calcium channel blocker. So that's how we pick and choose which ones to start.
Which ways? It's more than just pulling it out. It's got some scientific backup, but it's still a little determining on the patient. Every patient's different. You know
yes,
that, Doc.
Right.
I'm a good example of that. So the things could work. Sometimes they don't work. And sometimes you have to find the right path. You're right. It's not a sprint. It's a marathon. You have to go to point A to point B. Well, one other aspect somebody asked me, and I wanted to ask you this, is pulse rate important when you check your blood pressure, the pulse rate?
The pulse rate, you mean how fast the heart rate is or the pulse pressure, the difference between the systolic and diastolic pressure?
No, how fast.
That's not what we're focused on for hypertension. You know, the blood pressure cuff will give you that.
Yeah.
It's informative for my patients, say, who have atrial fibrillation, and we're getting information and they're on medicines like a beta blocker, which slows down their heart rate, suppresses that, and I get information where – all right, well, yeah, we're getting you maybe a little too slow, and I don't have room to increase that medication because that medication at a higher dose will lower their heart rate
further.
Than most of those other medications we were talking about do not affect heart rate. There's one called hydralazine that sometimes can cause a little faster heart rate. But generally looking at blood pressure, it's nice for us to see that, but that's not what we're looking at.
Okay, but because I've had people tell me, including myself, where my pulse went extremely low when I was taking some other medicines, blood pressure medicine. I called the doc and I said, "Oh, we need to change you because it's affecting your pulse rate."
And that was probably a beta blocker, such as like carvedilol, atenolol, metoprolol.
Yeah. So, and that changed me some, and then, hey, it's been great. It's been great. So, again, you need to, everybody, I'm trying to emphasize this, you need to follow up with your physician and his nursing staff. If anything goes, this is definitely, I hate to say this, not exact. You're not going to take the pill and never see him or her again, right?
100%. That's the best information, is to make sure you make your regular follow-ups. If you miss a follow-up, call your doctor, get rescheduled. Don't forget about it and go 6 years and not see the doctor. The patients we see in the emergency room having major heart attacks, unfortunately, that's often the case.
Well, and I do health expos every once a year. We've done it for many years, and we have all these staff from Willis Knighton and other facilities do the blood pressure check. And it's amazing, Doc, how many times they find people that have supposedly hypertension. It might be the excitement of the day, but they tell them, you know, you need to go see a doctor. When the last time you've seen a doctor? Oh, about a year ago. And most of them are elderly, so they need to have that particular follow-up. It's pleasing me that at least they came and got screened. Sometimes they don't get screened at an older age like myself and others. So, right?
Right.
It's good to get screened. And I see people now at CVS and Walgreens using those, blood pressure monitors there to screen. And I had one lady that interrupted me. She says, "What does this mean?" I said, you have a little high blood pressure. You might want to contact your doctor.
Exactly.
And she said, "Well, thank you for giving me that advice." I'm not giving you advice. Just go visit call your physician. And she said, "I think I will. I don't know if he checked it the last time. I'm sure he did when you were up there." So that's the other situation. So we talked about it, but I think you need to emphasize that exercise does help, right?
Yes. Exercise, aerobic exercise, trying to do, anything that somebody can do helps, but more, 30 minutes, getting your heart rate up, breaking a sweat, not just kind of walking around a little bit, but walking around is better than just sitting at the home, not doing anything. But we have pretty good data. We have pretty good data on weight loss of people who lose 20, 30 pounds that they can toss medications in the trash.
Wow.
I'm getting lightheaded because, my blood pressure is now, 92 over 62. Where it was like 140 previously, and that they don't need as much medication. They may need still some medication, but that can make a difference.
Great outcome there. So what about, explain to our listeners why salt is bad.
Yeah, there's some debate on this, but salt causes fluid retention. And so some people are more salt sensitive. And when we eat salt, we get thirstier. And our body has ways where we try and keep our sodium levels in check. So if somebody eats a lot of salt and somebody doesn't eat a lot of salt, our sodium levels are going to be the same. And our kidneys are able to adjust with this, and our body through thirst mechanisms will increase our water intake. The way diuretics work is they make you pee out salt, and the water follows that salt. And so we get more water retention. The arteries tend to get a little bit enlarged and dilated from that. And so that's the mechanism of it. It's due to more fluid retention.
People that drink a lot of alcohol and wine, does that also contribute to hypertension?
Yeah. One glass of wine a day is not going to do that. But people who drink alcohol has definitely been associated with hypertension and poor blood pressure control.
What about stress? Stress seems to intervene in...
Yeah, stress and pain both intervene. So our body is all connected. The brain connects with the kidneys. and it connects with our heart. People get arrhythmias with stress, but definitely stress has been shown to have higher blood pressure levels. As we were talking about with white coat hypertension, we think that's more stress, just of the experience of coming to the doctor and worrying that pain, people who are dealing with chronic joint pain, back pain, knee pain, their blood pressure goes up. And then some medications worsen blood pressure. So people taking non-steroidal anti-inflammatories like ibuprofen, naproxen, Aleve, those can cause higher blood pressure levels.
Oh, didn't know that. Okay, that was never told to me. So last question, which is more critical, the diastolic or the upper number? Which one is more critical?
Yeah, it depends on your age. This upper number is the main one we like to follow. The systolic number, right.
Systolic.
Okay. Younger people tend to have higher diastolic pressures, and we'll combine in procedures that I'm doing. We usually watch for people who have combination systolic and diastolic hypertension. As we age, as we mentioned before, and our arteries get stiff, older people tend to have lower diastolic pressures. Their pulse pressure widens as we age.
Okay. So the concern is when they're older, the top number.
Older the top number, younger people both. We want to keep the diastolic pressure below 80, ideally at least below 90. Most guidelines would say at least below 85, depending on what somebody's risk factors are. Okay. But generally, I make it simpler for patients, and I tend to focus more on the systolic pressure.
Okay. Hold that thought. We'll be right back with more information, but now a word from our sponsors and advertisers who do make this radio show possible. You're listening to the Best of Times Radio Hour here on News Radio 710 Keel, proudly presented by AARP Louisiana Neighbors, Tending Country Risk Report, your Dodge, Chrysler, Ram, and Jeep dealer.
The Best of Times Radio Hour will be right back on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel. Now back to the Best of Times Radio Hour on 101.7 FM at 710 Keel.
Welcome back to our show, the Best of Times Radio Hour, proudly presented by AARP Louisiana and eBears, Standing Country or Shreveport, your Dodge, Chrysler, Ram, and Jeep dealer. Joining me on my show today is a special guest. It's Mr. Kenneth Favre, who is with C.E. Byrd High School's Alumni Association, and he's going to discuss the upcoming 100th Byrd High School Centennial Celebration that will be held in Shreveport June 5th through June 7th. So thank you, Kenneth, for joining us today. And we've already talked about some great history and great trivia facts that, I'm sitting here crying about some of those aspects. I've been there, done that. I wish I was back then there, 18 years old, a little younger.
Same for me.
Okay, so let's talk about the Centennial Celebration. So it begins on June 5th.
Right.
With what? What's the first?
Yeah, so the first is the evening of June the 5th is our Hall of Fame induction dinner. We have 18 people being inducted into our Hall of Fame, our school's Hall of Fame.
The total number of people in the Hall of Fame? Do we know?
Oh, that's a good question. I don't know. It's over 50 for sure.
Okay.
Yeah.
But we have 18. That's going to be a good number.
Yeah, it will be a big number.
It'll be at the convention center.
It'll be at the convention center. And unfortunately, that just sold out. So we'll have well over 500 people.
Awesome. Yeah. Awesome. That is good. So, again, we're going to learn more about it and about the inductees. It's going to be various information to be printed. I'm sure my friends at Forum and other magazines as well as news media you'll be presenting those different 18 as well.
Yep, and they're listed on our website as well.
Okay.
Very impressive people.
Okay, the website, again, everybody, we're going to be giving you some highlights, is birdhighalumni.org. Again, that's Byrd, B-Y-R-D, High, H-I-G-H, alumni.org. So then there's the golf tournament, right?
Yeah, the golf tournament will be Friday morning, and it will be from 9 o'clock to about 2:30 is when we finish up, and we've filled that up as well. So
awesome.
That sold out pretty quickly, so we're excited.
That's at Kirby's back in the days.
Yeah, that's right.
So I'm not a big athlete, but I was a quasi member of the golf team.
And is that right?
I was not a good golfer. I would never make it, but I participated and I did my part, and they were always thrilled that I was. That was the only sport I participated in. So I mean, it wasn't even tennis. So it wasn't even, of course, and I was in the band too for one year. But that was. But back at Corby's, I remember playing at Corby's. Mm-hmm. That's where Bird played all their all their practice and tournaments there at Corby's.
Yep.
So that's good that it sold out. So then we have the documentary. The Centennial documentary that will take place at the Robinson Film Center on that Friday, right?
That's right, yes. And that will be all day. I think showings start at 11, and then they'll go into the evening. And in order to get tickets for this, you can go to the Robinson Film Center website and buy it just like you would a normal movie ticket. So you can do it there. There's a chance that some tickets will still be available day of that you can walk up and purchase just like you would a regular movie ticket. But I would recommend getting them early.
And they are showing this in both theaters, the big theater as well as the small theater. And
that's right.
I would highly suggest if you want to attend, I've already booked my tickets, and that you might want to come before the evening when all of the reunions will take decade reunions take place.
Mm-hmm.
So that they're all going to be held right around Texas Street. So it's great if you go to the movie at the Robinson, and then after that you walk over to one of your particular decade's
That's
reunion.
Right. Yeah. So I think that would be a great strategy for it. And so the decade's reunion is we are closing down Texas Street. So Texas Street will be closed down to traffic. The bridge downtown will be turned purple and gold.
Awesome.
Yep. So Art Space is going to have a mural in front, a Bird Centennial mural in their window. There's different locations for each decade. You can go to our website as well and find out which place that will host your decade.
Yeah, the 50s at the Robinson Film, the 60s at 421 Texas, the 70s at Missing Link, 1980s at Rhino Coffee, 1990s at Noble Savage, and 2000 plus is at Fatty Arbuck's Pub in the Red River District.
Yeah, that'll be under the bridge. At Fatty Arbuck's, but under the bridge down there. We expect a good crowd for those, so.
Well, hopefully everybody will attend. Those are free to attend, right?
That is free, yeah. So you'll purchase your own food and drinks, but it's completely free to come down there. We plan to try to fill up the whole street. So.
Okay, continuing on the morning of June 7th, which is Saturday, there's going to be a 5K run and walk, right?
Mm-hmm, that's right.
And you need to register for that as well, if I recall.
Yes, you can. That's on Sports Spectrum's website.
Okay.
So you can register through there. You can go to birdhighalumni.org and follow the links to.
And then we're going to have those, hopefully, visitors and locals that haven't been visited the campus in a while. Is an open house from 9:30 a.m. to 12:30 p.m., right, on Saturday?
I think this is a do not miss. And this one's also free for all alumni and friends to attend. There's going to be, your class – we'll gather in separate classrooms. There's going to be a gusher. There'll be a big pep rally. We'll have an assembly where everybody gets together. Here's some interesting information and that kind of stuff. And I think that one's going to be a lot of fun.
Oh, okay. I remember going in the two Ultimate reunions, but that was remarkable. Mm-hmm. So the culmination is the Ultimate reunion at the Centennial on June the 7th from 7 p.m. until midnight. Mm-hmm. And this will take place at the Shreveport Convention Center, which will have a lot of room there, right?
Yes, that's right. And we're going all out on this one. There will be some of our cheerleaders will be there in period costumes. So you'll see them dressed up like they have throughout the years. We'll have a band early in the night, similar to what you were talking about in 87, but there's one band playing from different time periods. Later in the night, there will be a DJ that's there. The decorations are going to be phenomenal. Lots of old bird artifacts will be brought in.
Awesome, great.
Yep, yearbooks will be available digitally for everybody to view. It's going to be a really great.
Yeah, that's a sad thing. Somebody borrowed my yearbook of 68, and nobody's been able to find it. It's somewhere.
No.
That was when we did the class of 1968. And I brought mine because nobody had one, and it's no longer found. That's
sad. Goodness. Well, we may be able to help you out with that.
Well, I hope you can find it somewhere. We've been asking everybody because it has all of my, everybody wrote in the book back in those days. Okay, so again, it's $100 per person or a reserved table for 10 for $1,500. And you can go to the website to get these tickets for anything. So remember, their website is birdhighalumni.org.
That's right.
birdhighalumni.org to register for all of that. If you have out-of-town visitors that are coming, the Hilton downtown is doing it, as well as Samstown.
Yeah, I think that the Hilton has sold out from our room block, and Samstown is close.
So make sure you make your calls. If you have friends that are coming, get their rooms. I'm sure there'll be available other rooms, hopefully, in the area that they can those as well. So hopefully don't belabor.
That's right.
Making a reservation to come. Mm-hmm. So in closing, what can you tell us? I'm excited about it. I'm sure there's going to be thousands and thousands of people. Do we know an estimate how many people are?
Well, it's really hard to say. There's going to be a lot of people there Friday night for our free events. And then we are having the same problem that y'all are having with space, even at the convention center.
Awesome.
So we may have to call this sold out soon as well. So
awesome.
Yeah. So we're keeping an eye on.
Well, that's a big facility. So if you have, well, everybody's going to bring their possibly spousal unit and probably
that's right.
Their older kids that might have gone there.
Yeah, that's right.
So they're going
right.
And they're from out of town. So, it's going to be a lot of people, a lot of fun, but
that's
it's going
right.
to bring a lot back memory. So thank you, Kenneth.
Yeah.
This was remarkable. I'm touched by it, but I'm really proud of you and the Alumni Association of hosting this 100 year. I mean, that's a milestone many high schools hardly ever think about celebrating is 100 years.
Right. Yes. I mean, it's kind of hard to even imagine, just what times, completely different times that have brought us to now. So,
well, best of luck to you and all the hardworking committee members that I'm sure they've been diligently spending hours and hours on this particular. I know from past experience, it takes a lot of time, even though a lot of people are working, they have to delegate their hours and to minutes to make this a very, I know it's going to be successful. I wish you the best. And again, go to their website to learn more, www.birdhighalumni.org, to learn about the centennial celebration that will take place June 5th and June 7th in the Shreveport area. Thank you for joining us today.
Hi, I appreciate you having me.
Don't forget to pick up your personal copy of The Best of Times at one of our 270 distribution locations. May God bless you and your family. God bless America. Have a great day and a great weekend. Thank you again for listening to our show. Hope to see you at the mini events at the C.E. Byrd High School Centennial Celebration on June 5th through June 7th. Best wishes to you for a happy Memorial Day weekend. I'm Gary Kaligas, wishing you and yours the best of times both today and every day. Have a great day.